Its current state on WKAR, the Lansing City Council begins its 2014 term in 3 weeks, and for the first time in more than a decade, it will not include at-large Councilman Brian Jeffries. Jeffries served 11 years on the council until he was defeated last month by political newcomer Judy Brown Clark. Brian Jeffries has been in public office in Lansing and Ingham County for some 30 years. He's been a frequent guest on this program. And as he prepares to lead the city council, we're speaking with him again today. Brian, welcome back to Current State.
Thank you for having me.
You served on the council for 11 years as an at-large representative. You've had a significant number of supporters and some detractors. Why do you think you lost your seat?
You know, it's still trying to think about that a little bit. You know, there seemed to be a disconnect of what we were hearing at the doors. We did a tremendous amount of door-to-door activity during this campaign, and it was very good. The responses were very positive. But I think, in all, there was a very negative campaign that was being run by some shadow groups. We don't know who those were. There was a lot of negative radio ads and very negative
robocalls.
Robocalls, yeah. Mailers. I think that had a lot to do with it as well. And so, you know, it is what it is. The people did what little they got out did speak, and the vote is what it is.
Do you know who funded the robocalls, the radio ads?
No, not directly. And that's, you know, it's interesting that the legislation that's now going through the state that's talking about, let's open this up to some more transparency so we can find out who it is that actually is contributing those kinds of monies to those kinds of activities. I think it's a great thing. I'd love to know. I've got an idea, but it's only speculation.
You were regularly at odds with Mayor Virge Bernero, who criticized you as being overly analytical, mired in the process, versus taking faster action. Was that, at times, over 11 years, an accurate assessment?
You know, I don't believe it was. You know, I think what a council member is supposed to do is, you know, here's how I analyze an issue that will come up. I want to be able to, at the end of the day, when I go through and look at an issue, to be able to go out, say, to a neighborhood group and say, this is the issue that we're dealing with, be able to explain it so they can understand it, and then tell them why I did what I did, whether I voted for or against it, and so that they can come away knowing what was going on. And when I analyze issues, I don't try to slow it down. I don't try to speed it up. I mean, I think the committee work speaks for itself. I was chair of the Development and Planning Committee for many, many years. We never took an issue and buried it in committee so it couldn't come out of committee. We dealt with it mostly, for the most part, on the timelines that were presented to us by the administration. We would get the issue and there would be a timeline saying by this date we need this to happen to it, et cetera. And we were able to meet those deadlines. And those actually, for the most part, were done very quickly, more quickly than I would have liked. But in order to meet what the administration needed, we certainly did that. So, you know, I think in terms of, I'm not going to apologize for or go back on the issue of council asking questions. They have that responsibility to do it. It has to be within reason, but we have to understand what it is that we're doing so we can go out to the public and build the public's trust. That's how the, you know, the trust is created, that they understand us and will be able to trust us that we're making good decisions.
Generally, Brian, do you think that other members of the city council take adequate time to analyze the issues?
You know, every council member, it's up to their own, you know, themselves to figure out what they need to do in terms of the amount of information they need and the amount of time they need to take to get that information, to understand it, and to make a decision. You know, I'll leave that to them. I will just say this, though. I think if you look at the work of council, when I first came on in 2002, we were meeting, you know, every Monday night, 50 meetings a week as a council, and then Committee of the Whole would meet on Thursday from about 1 to 5. And there would be a lot of work and time spent on just understanding what's going on in the issue or in the city, particularly as it relates to the budget. We don't put in even a quarter amount of that time.
Does that concern you? I mean, the number of meetings has been cut in half.
Well, The number, it's not necessarily the number of meetings, but having the time to do the work, not only the time, but access to information to be able to analyze that and to make some good decisions. I think with the way things are set up now, we're certainly not getting the information that we need, and certainly it's not timely.
We're talking with Brian Jeffries, formerly of the Lansing City Council. You mentioned your tenure on development and planning. The Red Cedar Renaissance Project mm-hmm. is back in the news. We spoke with Bob Trezise and Joel Ferguson earlier. Did you ever feel the public lost confidence in the project or the city's ability to help make that happen?
You know, it's no. The short answer is no. I think there's a great deal of excitement within the city, particularly on the east side, to get that project going. And there's a lot of, it's not just an economic development project. There's a huge environmental piece to it that needs to be addressed. And I think everybody, you know, just wants to see it happen. And there is a process that you have to go through with developers and particularly a project that is that big to get some outside, you know, help in terms of the scope of the project and financing for the project. And, you know, I'm very excited. I know with the team that's been put together that you're going to have a really tremendous development at that site that I think is really going to bring things together and benefit the city as a whole.
What do you make of Judy Brown Clark and her prospects on the city council?
You know, she's, I hope she's willing to put in the time and the effort on council. She, you know, I think will, you know, we're going to have to watch here very early. You've got one of the first decisions that are going to be made will be leadership decisions. Who's going to be the council president? How the committee's going to be divided up? It's going to be interesting to see what her role will be in that. My sense in talking with her throughout the campaign is I think she wants to be in a leadership role. So it's going to be interesting to watch to see where it all comes out.
How did it feel to lose?
Not good. Not good. Yeah. I mean, on the one hand, you know, I hated to go out in the way that I did, in the sense of all the negativity. It's something that went after, you know, my reputation that I've built up over almost 30 years in public service, and a lot of it was so distorted and so untrue. But I simply didn't have the money to combat that.
What was the biggest untruth in circulation, in your view?
You know, I think just the job killer Jeffries that was out there, that was part of both the radio ads and the huge mailings that went on, the dishonesty that they talked about. You know, that I was not supportive of police and fire and a lot of it. I mean, it just simply was not indicative of and true of what my record actually was. You know, there is a silver lining in the sense that it is a very demanding job in terms of time. I mean, it's a 24/7, 365 days a year type of
job.
If
you're doing it right.
Yeah,
right.
If you're doing it right. I mean, for example, you get, you know, I'm telling my wife, Ellen, hey, I'm going to go out to the store and get a gallon of milk. I'll be back in 10 minutes. And you're at the store and you're running into four or five people, yeah. And it takes you an hour to get out of there, and you've got four or five issues to work on.
You told us earlier on Current State, earlier this year, that 2014 may be the first time in 7 years the city might not operate under a budget deficit. Do you still feel that way?
Yeah, I really do. There's the economy is looking much better. The numbers in terms of income taxes and even property tax revenue seems to be going in the right direction, up and instead of down. It looks like the state shared revenues, revenue sharing from the state is at least flat, but it looks like there's going to be some increases made there as well. So on the revenue side, it's looking good. We've done some things to deal on the expense side in terms of consolidation of some services. So I think budget-wise, it's going to be a much better year than we've had, say, over the last 7 years.
Encouraging. Can you point to a single proudest achievement?
Not just one. You can talk about the big ones in terms of economic development and point to a building and say, boy, that was pretty cool and sexy. But, you know, I started to run for council, and I ended running for council on the theme of neighborhoods and that they're the heart and soul of the city. And I think the thing that I take away from it the most is having been able to work with the neighborhoods and the individuals. They're such great people in the city of Lansing. And, you know, they're not sexy issues in terms of, you know, trying to get grass cuts or dealing with a drug house. But those issues really make a difference in the quality of life of people in the neighborhoods. And, you know, that's what I look back to look at in terms of
neighborhood engagement.
Correct.
Any particular regret?
No. You know, I've it's, again, being involved in this for 30 years in public service in one way or another has been, it's a very rewarding, process. You know, I'm not done with it yet. I'm not closing any doors, and opportunities, I'm sure, hopefully, will present themselves in the future.
What are your plans? What would you like to, how, if at all, would you like to stay involved?
Well, initially, there's going to be some boards and commissions I'd like to get on and stay involved that way, whether they're public boards or private boards.
Where would you like to go?
In the city or with the county?
Do you feel some particular affinity for a particular responsibility?
Yeah, again, something that if I could, that would, again, look toward neighborhoods, particularly in the city of Lansing. But I'm very open to, looking at other things that might be more regional in scope. But again, I just, I'll start probably looking at that in much more detail after the first of the year.
Taking a little break now.
Well, I'm still cleaning out my office. So.
Oh, okay. What do you think your legacy is going to be? I mean, 11 years on the council, county commissioner.
Yeah.
Hopefully you're not done with your legacy, mm-hmm. is what I just heard you say. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if you were to be done now, what do you think your legacy
would
be?
Well, I guess from the city, the takeaway I'd like is that, people to remember that I was really focused on neighborhoods, that focused on quality of life issues, and I worked very hard in terms of economic development to make sure that the development that we created jobs that were going to be retained locally and paid a fair wage to help support working families, put a roof on the head, food on the table, and some clothes on people's mm-hmm. backs. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a really bread and butter kind of approach to things, but I hope that people remember that.
Mm-hmm. Brian Jeffries, formerly of the Lansing City Council. Great talking with you, Brian.
Thank
Thanks
you.
For coming in.
Sure.
We appreciate it. Good
appreciate
luck.
It. Take care.